nothing. I give you all of me. I give you all of me, withholding nothing. Dear God, we just love you and adore you, God. We honor you this morning, God. We come surrendering all to you. For you are our great high priest. You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. We ask you to meet us here today, God. Let something be said or deposited that will last a lifetime, that will make a change and a difference in our lives. God, we surrender all to you this morning. We ask you to have your way in this place. God, we ask you to continue to have your tender hand of mercy over Pastor. Watch over him, God. Let him have a time of refreshing and bring him back to us safely, oh God. We thank you, God, for him and his wife, oh God. We thank you, God. We honor them on today, God. We thank you, God, for your healing power, your saving power. We thank you right now. Touch Chris in a special way this morning, oh God. You know who he is, God. His parent, his mom asked us to speak one word. We're going to pray right now for a turnaround in his situation, God. Not only for Chris, God, but for anybody who's having any ailment or any problem. We pray for a breakthrough this morning right now in the name, Lord Jesus, God. Because we surrender all to you, oh God. And we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do this day. For it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray and say thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, choir. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God is a good God. And he's worthy to be praised. You know, I don't take it lightly whenever I have to come before you because, you know, when much is given, much is required. You know, I tell people I gave my life when I was 14. God ordained me way back then. But man just recognized me over 40 years later. So I say that to encourage each and every one of you that when you give your life to Christ and you take on the Great Commission and you go, guess what? You're already ordained by God, whether man recognizes you or not. Amen? So you are ordained to do some great things for Christ. And I challenge you to step out and be all that God will have you to be. You know, many of us are preparing for retirement. That's why we work. We're saving. We got our 401k. We got our CDs. We got all this stuff. But today we're going to talk about the Christian's heavenly bank account. These are some things we got to make sure we have, you know, so we can prepare for the other side. You know, God wants us to live our best life now, okay? Not looking and moving as the world does, but we're going to look and move as God will have us to be, okay? So today we're going to talk about, we're just going to talk. It's a different message, a different idea, but we're going to talk about the Christian's heavenly bank account, amen? And the first thing we got to have in this bank account is what? We got to have salvation. Guess what? We got to have our adoption papers. So what are our adoption papers? You got to be saved. You must be born again. Romans 10, verses 8 through 10, and it reads. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's nothing more than that. You know, salvation and sanctification comes later, but this is the basis. You just got to confess with your mouth unto salvation. Amen? Regardless of our brokenness, and if the truth be told, we all have been broken. To one degree of grace or another, in one situation or another, we all have been broken. Sometimes we try to act like we ain't been broken. But if the truth be told, if I did a survey in here, everybody's had something that they've been hurt by. Pain that you never thought that you would overcome. But regardless of our brokenness, when we accept Jesus, he adopts us into his family. Isn't that good news? He adopts us into his family. So the second thing we get, you know, is acceptance. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 14, and it reads, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well." Don't let anybody tell you any different. You may have made a mistake on this journey, but that mistake is not who you are. It's just a mistake. And God will clean you up and make you whiter than snow. We must accept one another just as God has accepted us. God will accept you just as you are. Have you ever heard people say, "Well, I'm not going to give my life to Christ until I get right"? Don't say that, because you ain't going to never get right. You know, even though God has brought me through some things, there's still some things I got to say, "Lord, forgive me for what I've done wrong." Sometimes it's something you know. Sometimes it's something you don't know. So don't ever think that you are too far gone and that you can make it on your own and I'm not going to give my life to Christ until I'm right. Because if the truth be told, we ain't going to never be right. But guess what? We're broken vessels that recognize we need and we have a Savior that we can cry out to. Amen? So when we do that, just, you know, I fall short and I thought, "Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that." And guess what? When will he forgive you? Instantly. You don't have to wait. Aren't you glad we don't have to go and confess our sins to a man in a box and say, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned"? That we can just call him out right where we are when we fall short. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we don't have to get stoned to death like they did back in Bible days when you made a mistake and you didn't get a chance to get it right? Aren't you glad today? God accepts us. He loves us. Even when we fall short. You know, number three, he redeemed us. He redeemed us. When you lose something, Jesus paid the price for us. Jesus bled and died on our cross for our freedom. He redeemed us. He brought us back to him. He gave us hope. Because he's that kind of God. He died for us before we even knew we were going to do wrong. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20 reads, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which we have of God, and ye are not your own?" Do we understand today that you've been bought with a price? We can't just do and say anything. We can't look at anything. We can't just go anywhere. We got to be called because we've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Verse 20 reads, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." He paid the price. You know, many of us have children, and, you know, God just loans them to us for a season. And then comes a time in our walk and everything that we just have to give our children to God. Because there's some things he can do that we can't do. God gives us 18 years to try to get it right. You know, one of the things I tell my children, and I thank God my son pressed his way out today, and I'm truly thankful for that. You know, there's some things that only God can deposit. You know, I tell them it doesn't matter how old you get, I'm always going to be your parent. And it's up to you whether or not you listen to what I say after that. Amen? So parenting doesn't stop just because you're 18, and you're not grown just because you're 18 or 21. Amen? But you know what? God compensated. He redeemed us.
He redeemed our children. And the greatest thing we can do for any of our children, grandchildren, is plead the blood of Jesus over their lives. Amen. When they go out into this wicked world that's getting more and more wicked each and every day, the best thing we can do is pray a prayer of covering over our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, our mates, our friends, our families, our enemies. Amen. Pray that prayer of faith. And with that, we talk about number four, forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7 reads, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So who are you not to forgive someone for hurting you if God forgave you of your sins? Forgive quickly. Don't block your blessings. Now, granted, there's some people out here that are mean and evil and have done some things that really hurt us. And I'm not trying to negate your hurt, but I'm just trying to tell you, if you want to get in this Christian's heavenly, in your Christian's heavenly bank account, and you want it to be right, and you want it to multiply, and you want it to grow, you better forgive. Amen. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32, it talks about be kind one to another, forgiving just as your Father has forgiven you. It says, let all bitterness, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. So what is that saying? Okay? It's easy when somebody hurt us that we want to say something back or get back at them. Do you know what she did? Oh, but who she thinks she is? I know he didn't. Come on, y'all. Be real. Y'all know y'all be acting like this. And you know when a black woman start doing this with their head, and you do this, you know you done messed up. And it's time to get it right. Amen? Amen. Forgive and forgive quickly. Amen. And with that forgiveness, you're going to have some wisdom. You're going to need some wisdom. Wisdom is something that comes from God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto you. So what do we have to do? We just got to ask. You can't have too much pride that you won't ask God for what you need. Okay? It can be a dollar. It can be, I need my electric bill paid this much. It can be, I need some peace when I go on this job. I need whatever it is. Ask God for the wisdom of how to deal with this situation. What is it that I need? How can I represent you? Because the bottom line is, we're little G's. He's the big G. And we don't look at that because he already said in his word, greater works will we do than him. So sometimes we're going to have to be a light in the midst of darkness, whether you want to be or not. And God will give you the wisdom and the grace for the season in your life of how to get you to where you need to be. Our experience, knowledge, and good judgment. You can have all of that. But if you don't have the wisdom of God in your life, it's for naught. I'm thankful God gave me a doctorate degree. And I got it learning more about him. I'm wanting in the medical field where I am because God's already gave me an anointing for that. Remember, God gave you a gift that's for you. But when he put a gift on you, that's for others. I'm going to say that again. God gave you a gift that's for you. But when he puts a gift on you, that's for others. So we can't be stingy and try to hold it all to ourselves. We got to share our gifts with other people. Amen? I'm going to give another perfect example. We used to take the children to the nursing home to sing. I know Sister Brenda not going to mind this. And she used to think I was going to be the one to bring the message because I was the minister. But I heard God. God said, no. Sister Brenda, she said, I'm going to do what? Girlfriend came the next week. Next time we went, she had her little boards out, her little picture thing going. You know what? If I was selfish and I missed God, guess what? She wouldn't have a nursing home ministry to this day. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. Remember I told you, you're ordained by God. Hello. Man may not ever recognize you, but I knew God said she was supposed to preach. I wasn't. My job was to just direct the choir, the kids to sing, and take them around. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the wisdom of God. Sometimes his wisdom's not going to make sense to your mind. Sometimes we try to reason with God, but our job is to hear and obey. So if he tells you to do something, guess what? We just got to do it. And you know what? If we want our inheritance, that's our next word, inheritance. When we think about inheritance, we think assets that are bequeathed to us when somebody dies. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, and it reads, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Guess what? We're connected to each other. Because the blood of Jesus is greater than the blood of our biological line. So it doesn't matter whether it's in this church, if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're connected to the body. It's our inheritance. We get things. We're just going to be honored because we are the King's kids. But we're living below and beneath where we should be because we don't understand and recognize who we are in Christ. Christ called us the head and not the tail. It's our inheritance to walk around with our head up high, to be proud and to be bold for God because we are his representatives. And you know what he did, that seventh thing? He sealed us with his precious Holy Spirit. You know, Pastor had the ministers to look at something, and I recommend all of you look at it. Andrew Womack did a talk. And it talked about the Holy Spirit and how most people, if they were asked, people were polled and said, which would you rather have? Do you want Jesus here or the Holy Spirit? What do you think most people said? They wanted Jesus. But guess what? Remember, Jesus Christ, what when you see Jesus Christ, that means he was a man. So guess what? A man can't be everywhere all the time at one time. That's why he left us his precious Holy Spirit, because that can be everywhere, all the time, everywhere. It doesn't matter. So his Holy Spirit, he left with us. So he can be in Ahoskie. He can be on Conarista. He can be in Cofield. He can be, do you get what I'm saying? His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is our power source. You know, we serve a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Most of us have the salvation part now because that's simply confessing and believing. But if you want some power, you got to get connected with that Holy Spirit. How am I going to learn more about that Holy Spirit? Get in that word. Pray. Spend some time with God. You know, I love praise and worship music. Because it ushers in God's presence and it speaks to my heart in a different way than anyone. And if you don't believe me, start playing some praise and worship music in your home and watch some things turn around. Because there's power when that Holy Spirit comes. Acts 1:8 reads, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." We can be a lighthouse wherever we go. Even in our family. Everybody got somebody in their family not saved. We can be a lighthouse to them. Because they're going to watch you. How you act. How you forgive. How you love. That's going to be the sermon that's going to change their life. You know, many times when I'm talking to people and they say so-and-so died, I don't know where they went. And I tell people, I got to believe that they made it in, because you never know what somebody will say or do on their deathbed. Amen. Even something, Lord, forgive me. So you got to believe that they made it in. Because a lot of people act like they don't know. Well, most of them do. Good portion do. Now, this younger generation, I'm a little concerned about. That's why we that are here need to impart into somebody's life. Impart into a young person's life. Impart into that mother or that father's life. So they will know how to impart into their children's life. You know, in medicine, we say the ontogeny of the phylogeny is recapitulated. So that just simply means the history of a race repeats itself. So we don't start repeating and imparting, we're going to lose a generation. And I don't want to lose anybody. Amen? And I'm sure many of you don't want to lose anybody. I've seen many of you bring friends to church. I've seen you bring loved ones to church. And that's a good thing. That's a good start. So don't leave God out. Amen? Because Jesus says he wants us to have life. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. So God wants us to have life, and he wants us to have life to the full. So how are we going to have that? Staying connected to the vine. Amen. The ninth thing is grace. You know, when I was coming up, my favorite scripture was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But when I was going through my journey 3 years ago with my husband, my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, God's grace is sufficient for me. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So I challenge you to trust God in a greater way, like never before. And grace is not earned, it's not deserved, but it's just because God loves us. His grace is sufficient for us. And we can't have anything in our heavenly bank account without praying. There are all kinds of prayers. There's prayer bind and loosen. There's fasting and prayer. There's supplication prayer. But the key thing is prayer. Prayer is simply just talking to God. Just like we're talking this morning. I'm not preaching. I'm not yelling at you. We're just having a conversation about God. What do we need in our heavenly bank account? Sometimes we're so caught up in what we want in our worldly bank account, we forget about God. On this journey of life, we cannot forget about God. Amen? Ephesians 3:20, we sang about this morning. It says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So guess what? We think we don't have power, but if God said it, it's in red, y'all, that means we got it. Come on now. We don't know who we are in Christ. Remember, our citizenship is not of this world. It's not of this world. Yes, we're U.S. citizens, but our citizenship is in heaven. We're not focusing on where we are right now, but where we're going. Come on, because we're going to get a new glorified body one day. Sister Jackson, one that don't hurt no more. One that don't break down on us from time to time. We're going to get a new glorified body. So that's what I'm striving towards, to have that new glorified body. Come on now, because God said it. Our citizenship is not here. So guess what? Even right here and right now, we have to walk as citizens of the kingdom. Amen? No matter what's going on around us. The word tells us weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We got to believe that. We have to say what God says. We have to believe and do what he tells us to do, because greater works shall we do than he did. You got to believe it. We can't be afraid to lay hands on the sick. And we're going to expect them to recover. Amen? Amen. And the 12th thing is the fruit of the Spirit. You got to have this in your heavenly bank account. Galatians 5:22, it reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Come on, we got the love. We can't hate. We can't have any racism. We can't have any isms or schisms in the body of Christ. We got to love. We got to have some joy. So many times we're focusing on being happy, but happy is just a feeling. But joy comes from knowing Christ. Sometimes people say, how can you still go through and still smile and still do this and do this? It's because the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's how you are standing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Peace. How many times have we heard pastors say, follow the peace? In these dark and evil days where everybody's going further and further away from God, we're going to have to keep our eyes on Jesus like never before. Things can go awry to the left and to the right, but we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because Romans 8:28 says, all things must work together for my good. You got to believe it. Hide some scriptures in your heart. Know it. Long-suffering. We got to be patient. Everything's not going to happen overnight. Gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23. Meekness, okay? Meekness is not weakness, y'all. We're not supposed to let people just run all over us just because we're believers or because we're forgiven, because we repentant and we have a relationship with God. Temperance, against such there is no law. Now, those are 12 things that we have to have in our heavenly bank account. God has given us every spiritual blessing. You know, I'm reminded of the Ephesians who were rich beyond measure spiritually, yet they act like beggars. You know, when I'm reading through the Bible, a lot of times we're so much like people with Bible days, it's not just right. We're living belief where we need to be. You know, what happened? How did the church lose so much of its power? I can remember back in the day, the motherboard would be over there, and they knew how to get a prayer through. Why are we struggling today to get a prayer through? What's different? Are we not spending that quality time with God? Are we not reading our Bible? Are we doubting? Are we not believing? But I'm here to tell you today that you're ordained by God. You can do it. And if that's what you needed to hear today in order to start doing it, I thank God for giving me the word to say, go out and do it. Be his representative. Amen. I don't want you to be ignorant of the devil's schemes, for we are his workmanship and created by Jesus Christ unto good works, that we should walk with him. Amen. You know, Pastor has been talking about the goodness of God for these last several weeks. You know, and I just got 5 points that I just want to just kind of remind you of. And I just want to encourage you to kill any doubt. If you fall in short or you're staying in the valley longer than you expected to be in that valley, let's kill doubt today. Because I'm coming up out of this thing. Amen. Because God said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm coming out of this thing. Somebody say, I'm coming out of this thing. Bondage, deliverance, whatever you need today, I'm coming out of this thing. Addiction, wrong thinking, I'm coming out of this thing. Kill doubt. Stand fast and hold to the promises of God. Even if you have to wait, everything's not going to be instant on this journey. Times we have to wait. Stand still and hold on to God's unchanging hand. You know, Pastor told us we got to be patient like a farmer. Nobody plants a seed and it grows the next day. You got to wait, trusting that God's going to bring it up and make everything all right. Number two, like never before, we must have faith in God. Romans 10:17, it reads, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are we getting today? We're getting the word of God, so we're going to get more faith. Amen. So guess what? If there are some TV ministers that you like listening to, or you need to get a tape, or go on YouTube and go to Hosky Christian and listen to a message again, do what you got to do to build your spirit man up. Because the enemy works overtime to kill your spirit. So you can't have two dominant thoughts at the same time. And we're often told, what you feed will increase. We're flesh and we're spirit. If we are not feeding that spirit man, that flesh is going to rise up. And that flesh is going to be, I'm sleepy, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I don't want to do. And that spirit says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I will press. I will press my way on this journey. I will not give up for greater things. Hallelujah. Greater is coming. He said in Ecclesiastes, greater is the end of a thing than the beginning. Do you believe it? It does not matter where you came from. It only matters where you're going to. So we got to remember, stand in faith and trust God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Number three, I want you to understand, again, I'm just going to recap, the power that you have. You have power. We can use our words to hurt, or we can use our words to heal. Some of us have the right thing to say to somebody else that can help them get a breakthrough and a healing in their life. We can't let bitterness and hatred and strife build up. We have to step out on faith. And some of us, even though we didn't do anything wrong, that kind word of encouragement can help bless somebody else that can free them up. We're commanded to go. So guess what? We gotta go. It doesn't matter if he didn't say he was sorry. You go ahead and forgive right where you are. And number four, we have to be sensitive to God's voice. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How are we going to get more sensitivity? By being in his word, by praying more. It's going to come. You just have to believe, have faith, and don't doubt. And number five, through it all, this is what God told me when we were on our journey in the hospital and I was home. He said, trust the process. The process is not going to always look how we expect it to be, but just trust that God is working on your behalf. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. You know, I've been on a journey this last 3 weeks, and I've been having to go and get some treatments and stuff and on the road. And I don't listen to a lot of secular music. But sometimes, you know, the gospel station run out when you go somewhere else. And then you learn, and then I heard this song. And I'm sure many of you know it. And when I heard this, I thought about Jesus. And he said, if you love me, say it. If you trust me, do it. If you need me, prove it. That's it. If you want me, show it. If you need me, prove it. Isn't that powerful? How a secular song could be so powerful and speak to our spirit. God wants you today. God wants you right where you are to say, I need you, God. I love you, God. I'm saying it today. I'm proving it today. I'm showing it today. God, I need you. Now, there may be somebody here who has not made a decision to give your life to Christ. You've never confessed out of your heart that Jesus died on a cross and he rose again from the dead. Somebody here may not be, just may not have done that. And if you haven't, I ask you to just raise your hand this morning. There's anybody who hasn't given their life to Christ. The doors of the church are open right now. Hallelujah. God is awesome. He's amazing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Singing,
oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Hallelujah. God is good. Is he not good? Did you learn something today? Did you deposit something in your heavenly bank account? You know, and that's what it's all about. Make sure you have your adoption papers. Make sure I want you to understand that you are accepted by God, Dean. You already in. That you've been redeemed by God's precious blood. And that he is, hallelujah, we'll talk to pastor when he get back, okay? Thank you. And now we must forgive, okay? We got to forgive. We have to use God's wisdom on this journey. Amen. We can't make it without Jesus Christ. You can try if you want and you will fail. Every time. You know, and I thank God that he will teach you how to love and that we have a great inheritance when we're connected to the vine. Do not forget his Holy Spirit. Okay? Most of us in here, and I thank God that everybody say, you have the salvation message down. Link up with the Holy Spirit. If you want some power, remember Acts 1:8? You want some power? Link up. He will lead you. He will guide you. You know, there'll be times when you think you're going left, he'll tell you to go right. You're not going to understand, but you just got to hear and obey and stay in his will. Amen. And then remember, God gives us life. Okay. You don't ever want to stop growing. When something stops growing, it's dead. When you die, you can't receive. You can't reproduce. You can't multiply. You can't eat, you can't excrete, you can't breathe, you can't do any of this stuff. You can't respond to external stimuli. You know, I can fuss at this bush all I want to. It's not going to say nothing back to me. Okay, we have life, and God has given it to us more abundantly. And God, we're going to thank God for his grace. His grace and his mercy. His grace, unmerited from God's riches at Christ's expense. Aren't you so glad that he loved us so much that he left us his grace? And remember, we must pray. We have to take time to pray. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Guess what? When is it going to be added? Because you sought him first. If we don't seek him first, all these things, then it negates the rest of that. But is a conjunction. So that means that's something you got to do. So if you seek him first, you know, things are going to work out. Prayer. And then last, you want to make sure you keep the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen and amen. Today is First Sunday, and we have communion on today.